You're listening to Crown Point Bulldogs High School Football on Internet Radio, USA-365.com.
All right, Dave Woodworth here along with Frank Sprankle at halftime at from Kiwanis Field, where the LaPorte Slicers have gone into halftime with a 20-10 lead over the Crown Point Bulldogs. Crown Point with a touchdown in the first quarter to counter a couple of touchdowns that LaPorte scored. LaPorte scored on their first drive of the game, taking the opening kickoff, starting from their own 25-yard line, going 75 yards for a score from the 11-yard line by Brennan Long with 10:07 to go, less than 2 minutes into the game. Crown Point then ran a short series, punting back to LaPorte's 39-yard line. And from that point, LaPorte put together a long pass play from Nolan Lorenz to Cooper, 53 yards for a touchdown with 6:38 to go. And the extra point was wide right, so it was 13-0 at that point. On the ensuing kickoff, Brett Shuttle returned the kickoff 92 yards all the way down from the Crown Point 2-yard line all the way down to the LaPorte 6-yard line. And then two plays later, it was Mark Knox on a end-round play going from right to left into the left end of the end zone from 4 yards out for a touchdown with 5:54 to go. This is still in the first quarter. That made the score after Ben Frederick's point after touchdown kick 13-7. In the second quarter, Crown Point had a couple of opportunities getting into LaPorte territory once or twice there. LaPorte coming back to score another touchdown after a 9-play 52-yard drive. Chris Juskovkevich scoring with about, 106 to go in the second quarter. And we thought that might be about it. But somehow Crown Point got a nice return and a couple of penalties here that moved the ball downfield and into field goal range. And close enough of Ben Frederick to kick a 45-yard field goal with about 5.3 seconds remaining in the second quarter. And the ensuing kickoff was returned to about the 27-yard line as time ran out in the first half of play. So the score at halftime, LaPorte 20 and Crown Point 10. LaPorte scoring three touchdowns and missing on one of their extra point kicks after touchdowns. Just taking a look at the stats. Unfortunately, my stats are a little convoluted here. So let's turn it over to the opportunity. Oh, I guess we do have a few stats. But, Frank, why don't you go ahead and put on the headset here. Let's run through a few of the scores, and I'll look at the stats. So we have other scores from around the region.
Yeah, we have all the DAC scores taking place outside of what's happening here in LaPorte. The Valparaiso Vikings, we saw them last week. They are at Maryville taking on the Pirates at halftime. Maryville leading Valparaiso, high-scoring baseball game there, but it's 8-6 Maryville over LaPorte. 29-0, the Lake Central Indians having no problems with the Chesterton Trojans right now. That game being played in St. John. And Michigan City holding a 14-7 lead over the Portage Indians. That game at the half in Michigan City on the road with the lead there. We do not know where this game currently stands, but it's a non-conference Northwest Crossroads Great Lakes matchup. The Lowell Red Devils are leading the Morton Governors. I had that score here a moment ago. It was 23-6. Yeah, 23-6. The Lowell Red Devils are leading. We do not have any information where that game stands in terms of time or quarter, but the Lowell Red Devils are leading 23-6 somewhere in the first half.
Yeah.
A halftime score from the Griffith Highland game. We got a halftime score from Griffith Highland and the Griffith Panthers. Boy, they've been playing pretty well as of late, leading the Highland Trojans 7-6. That game in the half, that game being played at Griffith out of the Northwest Crossroads Conference. Hanover Central at home tonight out of the Greater South Shore Conference. They are leading the Wheeler Bearcats 19-14. Boy, a close one brewing there between Hanover Central and Wheeler, but 19-14, that game at the half. Taking a look at some other scores as best as we have them. We have South Central and North Newton. North Newton, this game also out of the Greater South Shore Conference. It is North Newton. It is actually North Newton leading South Central. North Newton leading South Central 13-6. That game at the half. Taking a look at some other scores as best as we have them. Boone Grove and Bishop Knoll. 13-0, Boone Grove with the lead in Bishop Knoll as we stay in the Greater South Shore Conference. We do not have an update on the time or score of that game, except that it is 13-0, Boone Grove leading Bishop Knoll somewhere in the first half of that one. Doing our best we can to get scores. We have all of the DAC scores. Let's go over the DAC board over again.
Frank, while you check for other scores, let me go through the stats for the first half. We do have some stats that have been provided to us by the LaPorte coaching staff here, nicely printed up and everything. One big stat that jumps out here, first of all, I'll go through some of the positives. LaPorte Slicers with 12 first downs, Crown Point with 5 first downs. 10 of those first downs for LaPorte were by rushing, one by passing, and one by penalty. Crown Point's first downs, 2 by rushing, none by passing, but 3 by penalty. Crown Point with 13 rushing attempts and have gained 37 yards, while LaPorte has had 30 rushing attempts already in this game for 183 yards. So that tells a little bit about the domination there on the field of play, rushing-wise at least. Total net yards rushing, 177 yards for LaPorte to 34 yards for Crown Point. Net yards passing, 53 for LaPorte, all of them on that 53-yard touchdown pass from Lorenz to Cooper, and Crown Point of 42 yards net yards passing. Crown Point completing 3 out of 6 passes for a total of 42 yards, and of course LaPorte completing 1 out of 3 for that 53-yard touchdown pass. Total offensive plays, LaPorte 33 to 19 for Crown Point. And I believe total net yards, look at this, 230 yards for LaPorte, 76 yards for Crown Point. Average yards per play, LaPorte 7.0, Crown Point 4.0. The big stat here that strikes me as odd or a little bit unusual, both teams with 8 penalties apiece. But LaPorte's penalties totaled up to 135 yards. Crown Point also with 8 penalties, totaling 108 yards. So a lot of penalties in this game so far. Let's take a look at some of the individual stats for LaPorte. Nolan Lorenz, 6 carries for 76 yards. Brennan Long, 10 carries for 53. Nespo Drayson, 6 carries for 26, and Chris Juskakiewicz, 8 carries for 28 yards. So there you have their totals. Tyler Gomez, 4 carries for 12. Griff Gilbert, 3 carries for 11. Zach Stewart, 1 for 8. Mark Knox, 2 for 5. And Tyler Jones, 1 for 1 yard. So there you have it. Passing, Grayson Link, official on these stats at least, 1 for 4. I had Grayson Link with about 7 or 8 attempts, and only one completion for a negative 2 yards. Zach Stewart completed one pass for, apparently 1 yard, one pass for 34 yards, and Tyler Gomez 1 for 10 yards. So a couple of those halfback option passes in that first quarter when Crown Point was going with the no quarterback formation, a result of that. Okay, Frank, anything else? Other scores we have not yet reported?
Well, some updates as far as the scores that we have reported. We do know Lowell and Morton. Lowell leading 23-6. We did not tell you where that game stands. It is officially at the half. The Holbert Brookies and the Munster Mustangs, Northwest Crossroads Conference action, tied at 7. That game at the half. Calumet and Whiting. Calumet out of the Greater South Shore Conference, leading Whiting 7-6, that game in the second quarter. We mentioned Boone Grove and Bishop Knoll. We know it's 13-0 Boone Grove, and we know they lead them at the half right now. In the second quarter, North Newton over South Central of Union Mills, 13-6. North Newton at home, leading South Central of Union Mills. That game also at the half. Those are all the scores that we have at the moment. as we get set for the second half. And it looks like, Dave, the rain has subsided considerably. Boy, around kickoff, it was really coming down.
It certainly was. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here. We've got a few more minutes before the third quarter starts, about 47 minutes. In fact, we do have a special feature. It's the IHSAA Commissioner's Corner. And let's go ahead and cue that up right now here on USA-365.com as part of our halftime show.
It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, an exclusive weekly update from the IHSAA Commissioner himself, Bobby Cox. Now for the inside scoop on what's happening day to day with the IHSAA. Here's Coach Bob Lovell with Commissioner Bobby Cox.
The Commissioner of the IHSAA, Bobby Cox, joins us. Commissioner, I am excited about the fact that for whatever reason, you and your colleagues have agreed to have Paul Condrey and me host your pairing show coming up on Sunday on a great number of these stations. Are you guys, do you have any standards, obviously, in terms of who hosts these shows?
Oh, we have high standards, Robert, and that's why you and Paul are going to broadcast that. And it is an exciting time. This weekend, we're going to reveal the pairings for the first round of our football tournament, 321 football-playing schools participating. Coaches are on the edge of their seat now, and so are the players. They're looking forward to who they're going to play in that first round, and we're going to cover the state with the broadcast and looking forward to a great tournament.
We should remind everyone that television and radio on at the same time, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock Sunday night, for the pairings of the upcoming football championship. And also as a reminder, it's a week earlier. Be kind of interesting to see the reaction, but as you and I've talked about before, and I think everyone understands, it is a tense night because you're going to find out who you're going to be playing, and everybody plays for championships, so it's just part of the process.
Well, and Bob, we've talked about this before as well. This is, I believe, the most difficult tournament to win. Is the football sectional, because it's a three-week tournament. You've got all kinds of varying conditions. You're going to find out on Sunday who you're playing. So now you've got this year another week to prepare for your opponent. But you got to be careful while doing that, because if you look beyond your regular season opponents and you were to get upset in a game that you might win and your kids lose their confidence, there's all kinds of things that can happen. So it is a little tense time for everybody, and then once they figure out who they're going to play, then they can move forward and start planning for the future.
I think what's been interesting, too, has been the balance that we've had throughout most of the year. Certainly Lafayette Central Catholic has dominated single A, but I dare say it's hard for me to pick a favorite in the other five classes.
It's hard to pick a favorite. It's even hard to pick a one single great game because of the parity. As I look at the schedule each week to figure out where I'm going to go, it's hard to pick a great game because there's a bunch of them. You know, their records are similar. Their points are similar. It makes it fun. And I think that's what fans like to see, is that, you know, we don't need a school that's dominating every single game. They like to see that opportunity for the underdog, if you will, to step up and win a ball game. And it creates some spice in that tournament.
Commissioner of the IHSA, Bobby Cox, joining us as we talk about the upcoming pairing show on radio and television. Many of these same stations, obviously, in radio, Sunday night, 8 until midnight. Commissioner, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that we've already started the fall championship season, golf in swing. We have it is that time of year where in successive weekends there are going to be a lot of champions crowned.
You're correct, Bob, and glad you mentioned that, because this coming weekend on Friday and Saturday will be our first state championship, the Girls Golf Tournament at Prairie View Golf Club in Carmel. I know the folks at Prairie View are anxiously awaiting the tournament, and for once, it seems as though the forecast is going to be good for girls golf. We're going to have some sun and some decent temperatures, where the last couple of years we've really fought to get that tournament in, so really good for the young ladies that are going to play in our tournament. Evansville North is looking like a dominant team, but you still got to put the ball in the hole. You still got to make shots, and anything can happen. So we encourage our folks to come out Friday and Saturday at Prairie View to watch the girls play.
He's the commissioner of the IHSAA fall schedule, fall season of championships beginning as we speak, an upcoming pairing show Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. on October the 2nd. Commissioner, as always, thanks for your time. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Bob Lovell along with IHSAA Commissioner Bobby Cox. Try to say that fast three times in a row.
I met the guy. I met both of them. Terrific gentlemen. We used to work with Bob Lovell doing some corresponding work for Network Indiana a few years ago. Bobby Cox I've only met on one occasion, but knowing Bob Lovell the way I do, and even me and Bobby Cox, two terrific guys.
Yeah, anyway, they were talking about the pairing show that's coming up. Is this Sunday. This Sunday already. Wow.
And as a matter of fact, if you can't find a place to see it, it is going to be on television, as you heard Bobby Cox and Bob Lovell allude to.
Well, it's online, too.
It's online, too.
IHSAA.org.
That is probably the most convenient way to see it.
Especially up here in Northwest Indiana, because there is no TV covering that stuff.
No, it's only on Fox Sports Indiana, which would be available to those up here that have direct broadcast satellite. But if you have digital cable like I do, you do not get it. You do not have access to Fox Sports Indiana. So IHSAA.org, the most convenient way to see the drawing, figure out who's playing who. And what's interesting about this year, Dave, is that we are going to take a week off with the Crown Point Bulldogs after the game 2 weeks from now in Michigan City. We will not see them till week 11. Remember, now this is new. All of the IHSAA schools in Class 6A get a bye week. That has never been done before.
Well, I guess I wouldn't mind taking a week off. I mean, you know, it's been kind of a long season already. So week 10, that would be October... What would that be? October 21st, there will be no football game from our team necessarily, as Class 6A is dormant that week. But then we would be back in action on October 28th for the sectional semifinal for Class 6A.
We would know, and we will know where we will be. We actually do know where we're going to be now. It's down to one of four places. We don't know exactly, but we know where we potentially will be. We will either be at Crown Point on October 28th, or we'll be at Lake Central, or at Portage, or at Miraville. Lake Central, Portage, Miraville, and Crown Point, those are the four schools that make up Class 6A Sectional 1. So we know one of the four places we will be, but we will find out after Sunday where we will be after the season comes to an end come October 28th.
All right. Well, halftime is drawing to a swift conclusion here. Both teams are on the field doing their warm-up drills. Frank, what are some keys to Crown Point getting back into this game? They trail at halftime 20-10. Yeah, they were definitely outplayed in the first half.
Yeah, and I would have to say one of the big keys is going to have to be stay away from the penalties. We saw Crown Point commit their share of the penalties early on in this game. They've only committed one turnover in this game. Of course, that was a shuttle fair catch that he could not hold on. That was a turnover. The Bulldogs have done a fine job not turning over the ball. The Bulldogs have to stay away from the penalties. I do believe it's crucial. You don't want to give LaPorte a good field position. We know about the rushers they have. So to me, the big key is stay away, try to avoid as many penalties as you can, minimize them. And I want to see, Dave, what type of a Bulldog offense we're going to see to start the second half. Remember, Crown Point did not win the toss. It was LaPorte that won the toss. They elected to receive. So Crown Point will get the football. And I want to see what type of an offense they're going to come out of the locker room with, because we saw a good portion of the first half, especially early on, the Bulldogs using that Wildcat offense, in which we see either Tyler Gomez or Griff Govert. We even saw Zach Stewart get a carry. Is it going to be a direct snap to one of those guys, or is it going to be Grayson Link operating out of the customary pistol? That's what I want to find out coming out of the second half.
And the other factor that we talked about in the pregame, but which apparently was not much of a factor, was the fact that when we arrived on the game site, it was raining cats and dogs.
It was.
Maybe a few Bulldogs too. I don't know, but but the first half of play has been basically without any rain actually falling from the sky. All the umbrellas we saw popped open during the pregame show were pretty much put away. I mean, you see a lot of people wearing rain gear just in case it starts up again. I did take a quick look at the radar. It does look like rain does have a good chance of showing up here at some point here in the second half. So this is not going to stay through the course of the game that is dry weather. But as long as it is dry, at least Crown Point could throw the ball, and they tried to throw it a few times, but without a whole lot of success.
And there's no question about it. Having a field turf surface as LaPorte had installed 2 years ago here at Kiwanis Field, definitely a huge factor. Until 2 years ago, you used to have the old grass surface, and I always used to say that here and the old Lake Central football field, the burial grounds, which were grass surface, those were two of the worst grass surfaces. Okay, Lake Central might have been worse than LaPorte, but LaPorte did not have the best grass surface. Rain like this tonight would have caused the old grass surface to mud, get dirty very easily, and that certainly would have affected the play. But the field turf holding up nicely. It was very misty before the game had a chance to walk on the field. So definitely having field turf has paid off and should definitely help these two offenses.